How can you get a home when the bank says no? This podcast is dedicated to the 1 in 10 homeowners denied each year by the banks. Welcome to the Pre-Approved Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about what a lease purchase option agreement looks like and what you can be prepared to see if you are entering into such agreement. Now, if you recall, a lease option has two agreements. One is a normal rental agreement, and the second one is a lease purchase option agreement. So we're talking about the second one here. And we're going to break this down into kind of, 7 to 10 major categories. So what we're going to talk about is the option term. So how long you have to exercise your option. How long is this exclusive right for you to buy this property? How you go about exercising that option. How do you tell the owner, yep, I want to exercise this option? We're going to talk about the considerations for this option agreement, how much of an option fee you would have to put down, talk about the purchase price and how rental credits could or could not work, how it would extend your term if you get beyond the initial agreed upon length, what happens after that, what happens at the closing table. So what expenses are paid by the seller and what expenses are paid by you as the buyer. Looking at some legal jargon, I'll say, where you have some remedies upon default, the default of a mortgage, that this isn't an agent, maybe some of that other stuff that is kind of the terms and conditions that we'll try or do our best, but not bore everyone of what that actually looks like. And then maybe just some other points of consideration like inspection and appraisal and how this overall agreement fits into your situation. So with that general overview, let's get started. I am looking at a standard option to purchase agreement. So it's a little bit unfair since you're listening to this on a podcast and trying to go through it in your head because a legal document can be a little bit difficult to understand. So I will do my best to articulate it for you. If you want to see an example of this, feel free to reach out to us at setyourrent.com. We'd be happy to share just an example of an option agreement that we have. Now, full disclaimer, every state may look at this differently. So be prepared to talk with your own legal counsel when reviewing this type of a document. So let's get started. What this lease option agreement is going to start out with is who is party A and who is party B. One is called the seller or optioner, and the other is the buyer or option E. And you're going to talk about which specific property this is for, and this is going to be referred to as the option to purchase agreement. The first thing it's going to say is, how long do you get to exercise this option? If you move in June 1st, 2021, how long can you buy this home? And that could be June 1 of 2024, which is essentially 3 years. Now, if you wanted to buy this, you essentially have to notify the seller that you are exercising your right to buy this property via your option agreement. And so you would notify them based on their address, their contact info, upon this document that you've both agreed to and signed. Next is the option consideration. So in order for you to have this exclusive option to buy this property, there is what's called an option fee. So just to get into this agreement, there is a non-refundable option fee. Somewhere, sometimes it can be $1,000, it can be $10,000, it can be $50,000, depending on the property and the situation that you're at. But essentially, this is your exclusive right to lock in this property so that the seller cannot sell this to anyone else. And I know we said that this option fee is non-refundable, which is true. However, when we get to the next document, which is the purchase price, you will see that there is an opportunity to obtain that option fee credit back. Now, this may not be in every single contract, but in ours, so the purchase agreement saying, okay, initially this purchase price for property, 123 Main Street shall be, and I'm just going to make up a number here, $200,000. And it's going to say that that price either stays the same for the entire option agreement or that it changes every month, every year, every couple years. Like that price can, change in value to share some equity in the home or appreciation. And so you'd want to be careful to review this to see, hey, am I locking in at 200,000 or does it change from 200 to 205 to 210 as I go about through this process? And now the next part of this purchase price is saying, okay, you're going to lock in that 200,000, but you would also get a credit of blank and an additional credit of blank per month. So that could be, you could get a credit of, let's say you put down $10,000 as an option fee, you could get a credit of that plus, let's say, $200 a month that's credited each month that you pay. And so those two things then help reduce your purchase price. And now comes the tricky part of what can your credits be applied to? So that you don't buy a home for $200,000, come up with $10,000, and then when you look to buy this home with a bank, coming up with an additional down payment and closing costs. So in our agreement, it says contracts can be applied to closing costs if allowed by a lender or reduce the purchase price. And that is if and only if you exercise this option. And so when you look at how your option fee and potential rent credits get applied to you, this may be a situation that if you bought this home for $200,000 in 3 years, let's say you could still buy this home for $200,000, you've accrued, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 per year as credits, and you put down $10,000. Well, now there's, let's say, $19,000 of credits that can either go off the purchase price or potentially can be used as your closing costs. And this is where it comes down to each specific lender on what they're going to allow you to do. So that is how the purchase price works, along with how it could potentially change in the future. The next part is the extension of term. So let's say you get to our hypothetical June 1st, 2024, and you're like, you know what, I don't want to leave the home. I don't want to buy it. You could just, you know, walk away if you didn't want to buy it. And you just say, oh, I lost my option fee. I'm forfeiting the credits, but I am not obligated to buy this home. You could theoretically just walk away. However, there's an extension term where you could say, you know what, maybe I want to extend this 6 months or 12 months or another 3 years. And for that, there may be an additional fee or consideration to do that, which may or may not get applied to your overall purchase price as well. Next, closing and settlement. Here is a list of the expenses paid by the seller. So in our agreement, it's, you know, the seller in this case would be party A, where they're going to pay for any existing liens, prepayment penalties, release of the seller's loan liability, tax statement, certification, survey, the deed, half of the escrow costs, and other expenses required by the seller underneath FHA, VA, or other government loan program regulations. Expenses of you as the buyer would be anything that your bank charges you. So these could be loan origination, discount, buy down points, commitment fees, appraisal, title insurance, loan application fees, credit reports, you know, preparation of loan documents. So all of this stuff that you would normally see if you're buying the home through a traditional bank, because that's essentially what you're doing now, is you're exercising your option. You're either buying it all cash or you're more likely getting a loan with the lender. On that closing statement, the lender is required to disclose all of their closing costs to you. And this is just spelling out what the seller and the buyer are agreeing to pay to. The next section is what happens if the buyer defaults on their payment or if the seller has an existing mortgage and they fail to make their payment. If the buyer fails to make their payment, it essentially says the seller has the right to take back the property. So this is really key to know, to make your payments. Otherwise, the seller has the right to potentially take back the property and you forfeit any funds. Now, if you're like in our situation where there was a pandemic in 2020, of course, different companies can give different leniencies on this, whether it's like, you know, the no eviction moratorium or people just being kind and saying, hey, everybody falls on hard times. We're just going to extend this and you can make up your payments later. That can be agreed upon. Now, one thing that you're going to want to know is if the seller has an existing mortgage, you really want to make sure that that seller is paying their mortgage, because you've probably seen in the news where someone is selling a home and the tenant is paying rent all the time, but all of a sudden there's a foreclosure sign on the window because the seller was failing to make their payment. And so what you can do is, in this agreement, it says the buyer has the right to request from the seller the ability to provide documentation that they're making the mortgage payments. Now, this is a big one, because if the seller is not making their mortgage payment, the first position lien, which could be a bank or some other private mortgage company, could foreclose on them and you might not know any different. And so by ensuring that they're making the mortgage payment just ensures that you are protected by exercising your option. This agreement will also say that the buyer has the right to an appraisal and an inspection. Now, this is pretty key. So for sure, getting the property inspected. So any home that you're getting into that you're considering buying, having an inspection for a few hundred dollars can really go a long ways of either negotiating the purchase price or making sure that you're getting into a home that you are 100% comfortable with. The appraisal could be either done at that time or done at the future date when you're exercising your option to ensure that the price that you're paying is appropriate. And oftentimes, if you're refinancing with the bank, they're going to require this anyway, so you could get appraisal up front. But in most cases, people just wait and appraise it at the option price that they're buying it for. But it could be a good idea to just ensure that the price that you're locking in is fair. And there you have it. Those are the 7 to 10 lease purchase option items that you'll be looking at if you get into this agreement, just to prepare you for what you're getting into and what you should know moving forward. Thanks and have a good day.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. You can always learn more by reaching out to us at homeequitypartner.com. Have a good day.